I am Roberta Schultz. Many of the books I review for Around Cincinnati are from academic presses like University Press of Kentucky, Ohio University Press, and University of Cincinnati Press. Many of them are written by professors hoping to have their texts adopted for some esoteric requirement or elective course of study. I used to joke when friends asked me about the kind of books I'm assigned that I get the ones that no one else wants to review. The ones with so many endnotes that bestseller readers would faint from just lifting the weighty volumes. Unless, of course, those bestseller readers were well-versed in the fiction of Stephen King, whose 500-plus page tomes can be repurposed as doorstops when the reader is finished enjoying the horror and suspense therein. But the dirty secret is, academic presses publish a lot of really good literature, especially poetry like Many Storied House by George Ella Lyon and Planted by the Signs by Misty Skaggs. They also publish books about great thinkers, religious leaders, social movements, foodways, artists, and musicians. I have even reviewed a book about John Mellencamp, so don't feel sorry for me when I have to review a 600-plus page book with extensive endnotes and footnotes about the likes of Cole Porter, which will probably be required reading for musical theater students all over the country in the near future. The truth is, I get to say yes or no to my assignments. And as I told the producer of this program, if I turn down a book on Cole Porter, I'll have to give up both my songwriter and swing music cards. The Letters of Cole Porter, written by Cliff Eisen and Dominic McHugh, and published by Yale University Press November 2019, could easily be required reading for students of American Broadway musical form or for those studying American songwriters and composers of the 1930s and 1950s. Cliff Eisen is a professor of music history at King's College London, while Dominic McHugh is a reader in musicology at the University of Sheffield and a leading authority on Broadway. The giant volume, while sheathed in a no-nonsense geometric pattern book cover that screams academia, is blessed with front cover comments by the likes of popular performers like Michael Feinstein and Kevin Kline. Inside that deceptive cover, the book concentrates on the rather prolific collection of Cole Porter's letters that date from the first decade of the 20th century to the early 1960s, and features correspondence with such stars as Irving Berlin, Ethel Merman, and Orson Welles, as well as his friends, family, and lovers. The authors complement these letters with lively commentaries that draw together the loose threads of Porter's life and highlight the distinctions between the songwriter's public and private existence. From Anything Goes to Kiss Me, Kate, Cole Porter left a lasting legacy of iconic songs, including You're the Top, Night and Day, and Love for Sale. Yet alongside the professional successes, the authors relate Porter's eclectic personal life, featuring exuberant parties, scandalous affairs, and chronic health problems. The real stars in this book are the extant letters and journal entries, many of which are published here for the first time, each one speaking with Porter's public and private voices. The early letters in the book are largely written between Porter's mother and his schoolmaster about the young Cole's successes and failures at his boarding school and whether or not he would ever make it past the Yale entrance exams. Born into a fairly well-to-do family in Peru, Indiana, Porter's grandfather sensed that the youngster had way too much interest in the piano and not enough in finances. So in an effort to mold the young man's attitudes, his grandfather drove him up to the local poorhouse and told him that he would surely end up there if he pursued a career in music instead of a proper business career. The famed adult Broadway hitmaker composed many of his letters to his accountant to make sure he would never end up where his grandfather predicted. He was obviously haunted by this memory. Other chapters outline by decades Porter's rise to the rank of most sought-after composers for musicals in both Broadway and film. Some of the most interesting passages for me are from Porter's diary, when he spends several months in Hollywood writing for the film industry. His straightforward, deadpan description of how writers and producers would pitch their ideas for movie scenes reads something out of Mel Brooks meets Chuck Lorre and writes a musical sitcom with a roaring production number. Think the end of Blazing Saddles with boats. I found his musings both entertaining and comical, although the financial constraints of working with many of these Hollywood types, while they pitched one wild idea after another, must have conjured up a few of his grandfather's ghosts about the poorhouse. As a songwriter, I really enjoyed reading about how Porter would rewrite the lyrics to many of his showstoppers so that they could be readily understood by British audiences. I also loved reading his many letters to close friends, where he most revealed his clever voice and playful imagination. He greeted his close correspondents with nicknames like Beardy and Sam the Lamb, and often signed off with creative phrases like Your Surf or Old Coal, never the same thing twice. I really enjoyed reading his letters, as they are saturated with his humanity and rather made me believe I was one of his confidants. In fact, one night when I told my husband that I was going to stay up a bit later so I could read more from Cole, he accused me of liking Cole Porter better than him. I kind of feel like I know him, was my happy, fascinated answer. Just the other night, I had the chance to finally talk in person to one of my friends who recently co-wrote a book about Mariah Longworth Storer, the Cincinnati heiress who founded Rookwood Pottery, and who became the correspondent of presidents and popes. I was privileged to review her book for this program, since it, too, was published by an academic press, after all. I commented to her on how extensive her endnotes were and how much work that must have been. Her eyes lit up as only an archivist's will when discussing the minutiae of a beloved subject's life. When I pitched our manuscript to UC's press, she said, I pulled part of it from my briefcase to show the editor. Wow, that's a huge book, the editor remarked to her. Then I pulled the other half from my briefcase. Oh, that was just the endnotes, I said proudly. That book about Mariah Longworth Storer has been quite popular on the local lecture circuit and at regional book fairs this year. I have little doubt that the letters of Cole Porter will attract a wide audience of songwriters and musical theater scholars and enthusiasts. In fact, my sister, who once sang Love for Sale in a community theater production of Cole, has already called dibs on my copy. I did warn her about the 600-plus pages and extensive endnotes. Somehow, I don't think that's going to matter much to her. You can find a link to the letters of Cole Porter by Cliff Eisen and Dominic McHugh at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I am Roberta Schultz.